Do you believe?
Welcome to this week's episode of Bringing Home the Hardware with Kate Constable, Mark Drumheller. Mark, we're headed into divisional round of the playoffs. We're not going to get into any of our, you know, best bets. Maybe at the end we'll give out a couple of those, but there's still plenty of news going around the NFL right now. We'll talk touch on that a little bit at the start of the show here, and then we have Sean Green coming on to talk NBA futures in just a little bit. So 15 minutes or so, he'll join us and give out some of his favorite not futures, awards. I call awards futures awards, you know. They're both being
awards are in the future, in the right? Future. So it's part of the futures umbrella. Yeah.
Yes. There yes. Under the umbrella. Well, Sean's going to join us and talk NBA awards market in a little bit. But before we get to that, some very interesting news just within the last hour here that the Chicago Bears, my Chicago Bears, are interviewing Cliff Kingsbury for their offensive coordinator position, which is interesting because Cliff Kingsbury is out at USC. Which means that the Bears are likely to be bringing in Caleb Williams this year. I'm still processing how I feel about it.
It doesn't look good for Justin Fields, right? They're not going to bring Cliff Kingsbury in and ask him, you know, how he plans to build an offense around Justin Fields. So it looks like Fields will be on the move, you know, and all arrows are pointing that it'll be Caleb Williams at the top of the draft for the Bears, which I think is interesting. I mean, we talked about this, Kate. I said, you know, landing spot is so important for these quarterbacks, right? Like you see it with the development of guys like CJ Stroud and Jordan Love. And, you know, they got to get a good offensive mind in there. I like the way they're thinking, but I just wonder, like, I guess this is my question for you. Like, Caleb regressed when Kingsbury showed up. Like, this year was not Caleb's best year. It wasn't his best work for sure. You know, kind of a lot of, you know, home hero ball, a lot of bad fundamentals, bad footwork. And, you know, I don't know. I'd be a little bit concerned, right? Now, how does it feel? Does it feel like the Bears are just doing Bears things, or are you, like, just kind of, like, not in on Caleb at all and want Fields to stay?
This is just like, yeah, this is the Bears doing Bears things. I mean, I am concerned, but I'd be concerned whether they kept Fields and brought in a new offensive coordinator or if they moved on and brought in both Caleb. Like, I'm concerned for Caleb Williams if he comes to this organization because the Bears don't have a great history of developing quarterbacks. But I do feel like the pairing of if they bring in Kingsbury, just or Caleb Williams is going number one and possibly vice versa, right? But maybe the Bears are starting to think, okay, so far or the past couple seasons, we've brought in a quarterback or we've used this quarterback and we've just paired him with a random offensive coordinator that we thought might work. Well, that hasn't worked. So at least the Bears are having the foresight to say, okay, what style of play is, and yes, Caleb Williams is likely going to be the quarterback next year based on this news today. What offensive coordinator style works well with Kingsbury? I mean, I would totally agree with you that Caleb Williams has regressed a little bit this season. So maybe the Bears aren't, you know, getting that part right, but at least they're thinking about coordinator style, quarterback style. Are they going to fit together? Like, at least that thought process seems to be going through their mind.
Yeah, instead of just forcing two guys to kind of, you know, have camaraderie or, you know, or compliment each other, right? Like, I think they're thinking in the right direction. Like, hey, let's get a Caleb Williams guy, someone in that knows him, someone who's, you know, has experience working with him. That way that can, you know, hopefully, you know, expedite his development. I'm just not sure if Kingsbury's that guy. Maybe he is. Like, who knows what went on behind the scenes at USC, but that part would concern me kind of just a little bit. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where Fields goes, you know, what the Bears get for him. You know, I saw a rumor they could send him to Atlanta for that top eight pick or whatnot. But I do think it is an exciting time for Chicago fans because when they drafted Justin Fields, I was very big on Fields. And my immediate reaction was they finally got it right. Like, this is so cool. Like, the Bears finally got a quarterback in the future, a guy that can, like, lead this franchise. And, you know, they finally have a guy, you know, they don't have to go to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman anymore, you know, like things like that. Right. So, but now they really got a guy. I mean, they got one of the most talented quarterbacks probably in the last 5 years coming out. So, you know, it's all the onus becomes on them of how do we make it work and make sure that we get everything, you know, out of Caleb Williams we need to get.
Yeah, I was really excited for Justin Fields too. I mean, the whole city was excited for Justin Fields. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not necessarily going to be like sad. I will be sad if Justin moves on. But it's right. kind of expected. And I more so want the Bears to be a good team. I don't care who the quarterback is, as long as that job gets done. And I think Caleb Williams does have the tools to come in and potentially be that next really good quarterback for the Bears. So I'm fine either way, but Cliff Kingsbury interviewing for OC, I'm going to have to, you know, take a little bit more time to see if I think that that's actually the right move that they should make. I'm not sure, you know, who else is out there that I do think is the right one for the job right now. So a little bit more
time. Let's just hope the Bears aren't bearing this up like they did in the past. So
what's that?
Let's just hope the Bears aren't bearing this up like they've done in the past.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. They have a good track record of doing that. So let's hope not. Mark, speaking of quarterbacks, next year, CJ Stroud, Jordan Love will be in their sophomore seasons. Which one right now are you more comfortable in saying has a chance to be the MVP of the NFL next season?
Yeah, so this is great. Like, I love looking ahead at next year. Like, obviously way too early, but this is fun. When we see the rapid development of guys like Love and guys like Stroud, like, really, you know, winning playoff games on the big stage, it kind of makes you peek into the future and be like, wow, like, you know, obviously those guys are here to stay to lead those franchises. Can they be, you know, MVPs of the league next year? Like, when those odds drop for next year, you know, should we be looking at, like, young quarterbacks like that? And I think towards the end of the year, like, there are some whispers about CJ Stroud and how, like, he should be in the running this year, you know, based off of what he does. So I think those odds will be interesting. But when they come out, like, I think that the value, there might be better value on Jordan Love. And if he comes out and can play this 49ers defense tough, I think he's going to be a guy I have my eye on, because Green Bay obviously has some deficiencies, but they got a bunch of young wide receivers that really like to step up and make plays. That, like, you know, camaraderie with them, you know, playing together is only going to get better, and it's only going to make him more consistent. So I think things are really exciting for the Green Bay offense, and depending on the odds, I think both of them have MVP potential next year, but I think you might be able to get a better number with Jordan Love.
And I said they're both in their sophomore season. Jordan Love is not. He's been behind Aaron Rodgers. But yes, this is his first season as a starter. Right, so that's right. A little different.
Second year starting.
Yes. I could easily make a case for Jordan Love. I think over the second half or last fourth of the year, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But mm-hmm. I just see a little bit difference in CJ Stroud in, like, the mentality. And I don't think Stroud gets frazzled quite as much as Jordan Love did maybe earlier in the season. Now, again, late in the season, Love has been extremely poised, but there's just, like, some little factor in some sort of intangible that I just get the sense watching Stroud that he's that dude. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's not fazed by anything. He's calm. His demeanor is a little bit more what I see in an MVP caliber player. So I would say CJ Stroud right now, but Jordan Love over the last couple of months has been making a case for himself. And I'm probably, like, you know, Mark, as a Bears fan, a little biased towards the Packers.
Yeah, so,
like,
you're not going to go out here and talk up the Packers, right?
Yeah, I don't want Jordan Love to win MVP. That would be miserable for us. I mean, Aaron Rodgers could just a couple of years ago won it back to back. Like, that was awful. So I guess my bias is showing up in a CJ Stroud fandom over the Jordan Love train.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And Stroud definitely has MVP type profile. I think he'll be MVP contender, you know, probably from this point forward as we go into the season. And, you know, it's exciting. Now, the one thing to keep in mind is how Houston attacks the offseason. They don't have the first round pick. They traded it to get CJ Stroud after drafting Will Anderson Jr. So they're not going to be able to add, you know, a ton of pieces around them, but we'll see what they're able to do in free agency.
We talk, obviously, this is an awards show, so we talk a lot about awards. And one of them that we discussed towards the end of the regular season was Coach of the Year, and we both kind of voted for Kevin Stefanski to mm-hmm. be taking that home based on what he did with the Browns and Joe Flacco and all the injuries they overcame, everything like that. I believe that ballots are due prior to the postseason. So this is a regular season award. But in hindsight, like, let's just pretend it wasn't, and you could vote after the playoffs or during it, like, a little voter's remorse for people who maybe said Kevin Stefanski should be the winner after the Browns just got steamrolled by the Texans.
Yeah, really cool to look back on, because, you know, you can look at it two different ways, right? Like, the Texans ran the Browns off the field. C.J. Stroud looked incredible, and you're just like, wow. Like, D'Amico Ryans took this team so far, you know, from where they were last year to now in the divisional round of the playoffs. And, you know, but Stefanski had to do it with all these different quarterbacks, all these injuries. And if you look back, like, when Houston lost Stroud, they were dead in the water this year. But on the flip side of that, Stefanski had a much better roster to start the season as well, right? So, yes, he didn't have the quarterback, but his roster was much better, and they were expected to win 10 games, kind of go to the playoffs. A lot of people had them as, like, dark horse, a team that may possibly go to the Super Bowl or win, you know, at least win the AFC North. So there were a lot more expectations on Stefanski, and he was able to kind of still get that team to the playoffs despite the decimating injuries, where – you know, Ryans was able to kind of catapult them further than anyone thought they would, but he needed the quarterback to do it to where Stefanski didn't. So, you know, it kind of depends on what lens you want to look at it through.
I'm actually just really excited to see who wins this year, because I think it'll help us next year for projecting coach of the year, because it's going to tell us what the voters value. Do they value a coach that's turning around a roster that's been in the dumps, or an organization that's been in the dumps for the past couple of seasons? Or do they value someone who can adapt mid-season and take a team with injuries and a team that's, you know, set up for success early on, but goes through adversity, and all of a sudden now they're scrambling and thinking, how are we going to save the season, and is able to do so? So it's like, do they value from start to finish, or do they value adversity maybe mid-season to finish? Those two types of things, because those are different. And these are humans that are voting. So, like, you have a human element to it, and everyone values things differently. So it'll kind of tell us what the majority thinks by who wins the award this year.
Yeah, it gives us a little bit more insight, right? Another year, we get another data point to kind of pull from. And, you know, I think you put it great. Like, that, it really kind of tells us, kind of, because these are the questions we ask ourselves during the season when we're betting into these markets, you know? So I think the fact that we have two distinct paths here, you know, really give, you know, bettors a lot of information as we look at the next year. Because as we know, next year, there's going to be another team that gets decimated by injuries, and there's going to be another non-playoff team that kind of comes out of nowhere to jump into the playoff picture, because we see it every season. So, you know, that'll be good. It'll be good to find out where the voters lean.
So then that leads us to, okay, thinking to next year, a lot of head coaching vacancies that need to be filled. I mean, Mike McCarthy staying in Dallas. Bill
Thank
Belichick.
God. Prayers are answered.
Right. Way to go, Derek. Yeah, for you as an Eagles fan. Yeah.
I love to say it.
What do you expect to happen with Kevin Stefanski? Is he someone who, after, say he stays in Philly, after a season like this, what if he brings the Eagles back to the prominence of last season, where they're back in Super Bowl contention, something like that? Is that worthy of Coach of the Year to you?
For Sirianni?
Yeah.
Or if he stays, yeah. So,
With Sirianni,
yeah, if he stays and he catapults him back, I think it'll be a great story. I'm not convinced he's going to be back. I think that
I'm not either.
Yeah, they're like, okay, if your plan is to fix the coordinators, go tell us who the coordinators are. And they're out there burning up the phone lines now. But I think they might be in a little bit of trouble. But so many good coaching stories out there. Harbaugh doing his interviews. Belichick. You know, Ben Johnson, I think, is a hot name out there. Washington has their eyes on. You know, so a lot of guys out there. But yeah, I think if Sirianni does come back and leads this team, because the Eagles are going to be in a bit of transition, they got to get rid of some of these aging veterans, get some young talent in there. If he brings them back to the Super Bowl again, you better believe he's going to be getting some votes.
Or potentially, if Sirianni's gone and they bring in a new head coach, which they'll have to do, if he's able to kind of restore that team and do what Sirianni failed to do this season, like, that's also just a team to look at for coach of the year with the situation that they were in this year, kind of like just collapsing late.
Yeah, because the market is completely low in the organization now because of the way they finished the season. And then, you know, so depending on what they do in the offseason or whatnot, for a coach to come in and catapult and bring them back to where they were, I think it's going to catch a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, that'll be something exciting to look forward to next year. Now we have a few more data points as well into this year's voting as once the awards are announced and all of that. So, Mark, now, we've touched on a little NFL awards, obviously. I mean, we can talk more about this in circles, but we can't bet on awards anymore in the NFL. So let's go over to the NBA and give us his insight. Joining us now is Sean Green. He is the host of the Sports Gambling Podcast on VSiN. You can catch him every Friday night there or every day as the host of the BetUS NBA show. Sean, thanks so much for jumping on and joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love talking association. Kind of over football as an Eagles fan, so nice to have something else to lean into. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Eagles because Mark is also an Eagles fan, and it's been rough for you guys.
Yeah, tough. Epic collapse is never something you want to associate with your team. I'm just glad it's over. The mercy killing by the Bucks was what we needed. Just move on.
Needed a little bit of euthanasia there. You know, once we blew that first half lead against Arizona, we knew there was no Super Bowl.
Yeah. So it's like when Arizona drove down and scored, you're like, all right, this team is not doing anything in the playoffs. Please end it all.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
So, Sean, you being a Eagles fan, are you from Philly? Are you also a Sixers fan?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I grew up outside of Philadelphia, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I just say Philadelphia usually because no one's heard of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. But yeah, been out here on the West Coast, but obviously maintain my fandom, a big Eagles fan and Sixers fan as well. Yeah, so all in on the Sixers, like what I've seen so far, and a Nick Nurse. Guarded expectations because of what they've done in the playoffs the past few years, but the NBA this year, especially, you know, I was trying to go back and think like when we actually saw like a big underdog kind of do something in the NBA, because usually it's just so top heavy and kind of chalky when it comes to actually winning the title. This year, maybe it gets a little interesting. We'll see. It does feel a little bit wide open. But again, as a Sixers fan, not trying to get my expectations too high quite yet.
So- awesome. Let's dive into some of these awards if you don't mind, Sean. And sure. I just wanted to pick your thoughts. Like, is there anything? We know it's early in the season, but there's still a lot going on. And you talked about there's some young teams that are really stepping up that I think create a little bit of value in some of these awards markets. So has anything particularly stuck out for you?
Yeah, you know, one team that I kind of think is has been kind of interesting, especially in the East. I know they don't play a ton of defense, but I liked what I saw of them in the in-season tournament. I'm looking kind of at the Indiana Pacers. Now, you know, them to win it all at like 80, 90 to 1, 75 to 1, sure, probably not. But I think a fun way you could play them and kind of play that, hey, they're exceeding expectations. They're playing pretty well. You know, Haliburton had that hamstring injury, but he's not going to miss the season. Looks like he's going to be coming back. They just traded for Spicy P. That to me is like a sign of like, hey, we like what we have here. We're looking to build on it. I think Rick Carlisle at Coach of the Year at 9-1 could be a kind of a fun way to bet on the Pacers, you know, not necessarily bet on them to win the East or the championship. Although, you know, if you're a true degen like myself, maybe you get a little action on that, but Carlisle at 9-1 Coach of the Year, you could definitely see like if they continue to exceed expectations, make a little noise here at the end of the regular season. I think him at 9-1 is pretty interesting in the Coach of the Year market and a fun way to get down on this Pacers team.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, is Carlisle someone that you could see winning Coach of the Year? So great point right there. Haliburton is, you know, on the board for MVP. He's on the board for what other ones? What is it? The most improved player.
Clutch I don't really player. See Everybody's him, on the board yeah. for clutch player.
Right? I don't really see him winning either of those awards. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is another player that's pretty high in the MVP odds right now. Plus 290. That's just behind Jokic and Embiid. He's also leading, or it's actually second in the odds for clutch player of the year. Like, how are you betting this clutch player of the year thing?
I don't know. I've stared at this a long time. Maybe there's some advanced formula of like, hey, buzzer beaters or something. You know, SGA at minus 250. I certainly wouldn't like any of these, you know, kind of any of these favorites, especially at these prices. I think for something like this, because we don't have a long history of this award, there's not a ton of data points. This to me is maybe where you get crazy and sprinkle on some of these long shots. You know, maybe you take Nikola Jokic at 25-1 or something different, because I don't think playing any of these small favorites, you know, even Damian Lillard plus 185, like, I don't know. I think of the, you know, just looking at price and everything, Steph Curry at 8-1. If, you know, Golden State pulls it together here towards the end, you have a couple big shots by Steph. Maybe that's interesting, but that one is the hardest market to handicap. But I would definitely not be taking any of the favorites. I think 8-1 and above is where you start looking for something like that.
Yeah, it's way too volatile to kind of bet into, especially like this early in the season when you understand. Like, I feel like we saw a little bit of a shift from last week with Lillard, you know, gaining a little bit of steam. And it's like, well, where do they get that from? Like, he hits a couple threes, points at his watch, and they're like, hey, clutch player, let's, you know, pour some money in on here. It just, I don't know how to bet that market either. But it does feel a little bit like offensive player in the year in a sense where it's like a consolation prize. Like, we couldn't give an MVP. Maybe we'll give you, you know, this clutch player of the year. But Sean, just try and give us a little bit of insight. Like, this early in the season, you know, about your process when you look at the awards market or things that kind of like get your antennas up to where you're like, hey, this might be something I need to pay attention to it. Are you just targeting like teams that might be below market that have high ceilings, high potential, and then looking at different players within that team to bet inside the awards market? Or is there another way you look at it? Like, try and give us a little insight on how you attack it.
Yeah, I mean, you're always looking, to your point, like finding where maybe the market is underrating someone, because in general, for something like this, you know, if the market is overrating someone, there's not necessarily like an easier way to fade in the awards market. Mm-hmm. I would kind of approach it the other way, like you were saying, try and find some stuff that's underrated where the market is a little behind. Like I think they are a little behind on the Pacers team, and that's kind of what was leading me to the Rick Carlisle stuff. You know, a lot of it too is storyline, and the NBA, you know, is a league that lives on storylines. So especially that these are all, you know, it's not like most, you know, points or most receiving yards where it's cut and dry. You know, these are actual people who watch the league every night and vote on these things, and they're reading and watching the same stuff that we are. So kind of being tuned into some of the storylines, either teams overachieving, underachieving, and using that for some of the handicap. I mean, you know, he's 25-1 right now for MVP, but you know, the fact that the Boston Celtics haven't lost a home game and we're this far into, you know, into the season, as much as it hates, you know, I hate being positive on a team like the Celtics. Certainly if they lock up the number one seed in the East and they continue to dominate at home, and, you know, maybe Tatum picks up his numbers a little bit, him at MVP, I think, is, especially at this price now, 25-1, is kind of interesting, just because I think some of the other guys, you know, like Joker, they've already given it to Embiid. He might not qualify game wise. Like, it's, I think it's SGA. I mean, I think you need to win more games than what the Thunder are doing right now to get it. Giannis and Luka, I don't know if the narrative is there for them. And Tatum at 25-1, kind of interesting if you're looking for some long shots. Certainly plenty of pro positive people in the media for the Celtics. So that one would be a one I would kind of take a look at there.
Do you think this is, and I mean, clearly based on your answer right there, maybe you are leaning this way. We're going to start going away from the big man for MVP every year. It feels like it kind of like ebbs and flows every 5-6 years or so. It's, you know, more guard heavy and then the big man. And the past couple of years, you've had Jokic twice, Embiid once. It's been the big man's award. But to your point, like someone like a Jason Tatum or an SGA, some of those guards might be kind of where the market's going. Would you, any truth in that?
Yeah, totally. I mean, because again, these guys are, it's a narrative, right? And like, who wants to write the same article about how this guy's the MVP. Who wants to get on that same bandwagon? They want something different. You know, they're like everyone. They want to find that new sexy thing. So anything that's kind of different narrative wise, you know, the guys who win back to back, that's why it is so hard to win back to back MVPs, because you have to like clearly be so dominant that they have to give it to you, right? Like they can't, oh, like he's so dominant, we got to give this to him. And I don't know if we've quite seen that from anyone yet. Embiid certainly has been playing at an MVP level. You know, it's just a combination of his price at plus 280 and will he get there game wise, would be kind of some of the stuff. And the Sixers have already signaled that, like, hey, we want to be smart. He's got this knee thing where there's some swelling. And I think they are, you know, they are playing to make a run in the playoffs. So I think they could be cautious. And Embiid has already won an MVP. It felt like last year his goal really was winning MVP. And then he got to the playoffs and they're like, yeah, whatever. I won MVP. Like, no, dude, you win MVP and then you win the Eastern Conference. Like, don't stop there. This year, it does feel like they're more focused on winning in the playoffs, which is tough to gauge here in the regular season. But I think it's, you know, people want the sexy new thing.
I'm glad you said that, Sean, because I'll tell you, there was no more frustrating part than last year. You know, Mother's Day, I dropped wife and my daughter off at Taylor Swift. The game started, Sixers looked good early. By the time I got back from coming over the bridge and dropping them off, they're down by like 30 points. I'm like, you completely massacred my Mother's Day. And I swore, I was like, I'm not going to believe again. And then they bring in Nick Nurse. They start doing all the right things. Maxie's great. And I'm not there yet. But, you know, it's a long season. They're going to have to do a little more to win me over to get me back on board. But, yeah, it just seemed like last year, like, the MVP was the goal. And hopefully we don't see the same thing this year. I get a little bit worried. Like, if he's still, you know, favored or second in the running when we get towards the end of the season, I'm going to, you know, get a little nervous. Like, here we go again with these guys. But I like new blood in the market. Yep. And seeing teams like, you know, Oklahoma City, you know, Minnesota with Anthony Edwards and SGA pop up there. Like, I love to see that stuff. I would love to see one of those guys win MVP. How viable do you really think they are? And A, do you think they continue to have success and be one of the top teams in the conference? Or do you think they're going to fall off? And, you know, do you think it's worth taking a stab at either SGA or Anthony Edwards in the market?
Yeah, I mean, SGA, I would say if you were going to bet him, maybe that ship has already sailed because he's down to
it's so short,
plus 290. And I do think you have to, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but generally, you know, for the most part, I think the exception was when, you know, Westbrook averaged a triple double and they gave it to him. But for the most part, like, you have to be, you know, one of those top seeds, and certainly the Thunder are. And that's why it's kind of, you know, reflecting in his price. Ant, I think, is probably the other one in the West here at 35-1 is pretty interesting, because right now they are the number one seed in the West. I think they are going to hang around there for the most part. And we've seen this all the time where, like, a team like the Nuggets, do they really, you know, how hard do they go? They're coming off that the championship. Do they feel like they really need to get that one seed, where, to your point, like Timberwolves, it's new, it's fresh. Like, they would be stoked to get that one seed. So I think if, Timberwolves end up being the number one seed and Anthony Edwards, you know, ends up continuing, his numbers at where they are and continue to play well, 35-1 is a pretty good price. So yeah, I certainly SGA has a shot. I just don't, like, if you're betting it today at that price, isn't super interesting. But Anthony Edwards at 35-1, you know, I'm always down for a long shot. So that one is pretty juicy.
All right, Sean, last question I have for you, Mark, and you can, you know, finish up if you have anything else for Sean. But Rookie of the Year, is there any way to bet into that market right now? It's pretty much Wemby or Chet. Chet's the favorite, but I mean, either way, it's like you've kind of lost. There was never really any value there to begin with.
No.
Would you just recommend completely staying away from that market this year?
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't bet on Rookie of the Year, I would probably just punt it off right now. Cause even Wemby at plus 120, it's like, man, Chet looks so good. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't feel like
play enough towards the end of the season.
And Pop has been doing weird stuff with his minutes. Clearly this is like a learning year for the Spurs, whereas like the Thunder are going to be, they need Chet playing all the time. They're not going to just like randomly, hey, only play Chet like 15 minutes in a game. Like they need him. He's playing awesome. And he's a big part of their success. I do love Jaime Jaquez as a player, but at 150-1, even as a degen, I couldn't talk myself into him as Rookie of the Year. Shout out to Jaime Jaquez, a local legend here out in LA. But yeah, no, I think if you didn't get on Chet or Wemby, I think at this point you probably punted.
Awesome. Great stuff. So Sean, we'll get you out of here on this one. You know, make sure you tell everybody where they can find you. I know you guys got the live show on VSiN. Again, my DMs are open. If you want to slide some touchdown props in there for this weekend, don't be shy. Would absolutely love it. So everyone check Sean out. But we want to leave you with this one. Give me your Super Bowl prediction. I threw out Ravens Cowboys last week, which didn't work. And I think I just have to admit now, I just hate the 49ers and I'm just picking random NFC teams that aren't San Francisco. So, let the audience get another, you know, opinion here and give us your Super Bowl prediction.
That's tough because I'm with you. I hate the 49ers. I don't want to see them in. You know what? All right. So from the NFC, and all right, here's what we'll do. We'll give you Packers. We'll go back all the way to the original Super Bowl, Chiefs, Packers. Give it to me. Packers, live dog. I don't know. I'm with Mark. I hate the 49ers so much. It's hard for me to handicap this rationally, but Packers, Chiefs, long shot here, and let it ride.
And as a Bears fan, I hate the Packers, so I hate that take, Sean. Sorry. But we appreciate you coming on for all of your NBA takes. Those are the ones that we love. So thanks so much for jumping on with us today.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, Sean.
Yep. That was Sean Green. You can find him on VSiN, Friday nights, Sports Gambling Network podcast, and every single day on the BetUS NBA show. Does a great job over there with all of those guys. Some good insight. I love the Rick Carlisle Coach of the Year.
Talked about that a little bit last week, and you know, it's awesome to see, like, you bring on a guest again, Sean completely dialed in, does the show daily with, you know, BetUS, and for him to come in and just kind of like reinforce what we're thinking is awesome. Like, you love to hear that. You're like, all right, now we're aligned, might be onto something.
Yeah. And I mean, with MVP, I don't think Jokic or Embiid are going to win it this year. So if you just take those two off the board, then you have SGA, Luka. I don't know why, but I don't see Luka winning this year. The Mavs have not been all that great. And it feels like his name is thrown towards the top of the odds board every single year. And every year he doesn't end up bringing it home. So I think
he has one like 60-point night. Everybody goes crazy and they're like, Luka. But then
it's an overreaction. I feel like he could be
clutch player of the year. Like, they just want to give him an award. Maybe they give him the clutch.
Yeah, there you go. That actually not a bad thought there. All right, Mark, what do you want to do to close things out here?
We can talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs if you want. We can wrap it up that way. I mean, I think we hit a lot with Sean as far as basketball. And again, you know, we exchanged some of our thoughts. It was funny. I was joking with Sean where I'm like, hey, you know, my Ravens Cowboys got blown up. And you know, like, if I'm picking the Cowboys to go to the Super Bowl, you know I don't like the 49ers, right? Like, it's, you know, I had to dig deep for that one. But I thought they had a path. And the funniest thing is, Kate, immediately when the Cowboys lost, like, my mind went to, like, I think the Lions can do it. And I'm like, and then I just realized I'm just picking like other NFC teams, you know, but I just think when you look at if it's not the 49ers, right. Even if the Packers can get the upset, which I think is a non-zero chance. Like, I think Packers alive in that game. I don't know if I'm going to bet some money line, but I'm probably going to land on the Packers. I want to see if it gets to 10. But if they do win that game and Detroit wins, then they got to go on the road again and play in Detroit. Like, are they going to be able to win that game? So I think, you know, in that scenario where San Francisco loses, it does bode well. I think that weighs a better path for the Lions than betting on them to go on the road and win in Santa Clara, you know, in Levi Stadium.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that'd be a tough road. But you almost, I don't know, like, I think it's because I'm so dead set on the Ravens. Like, I like the Ravens so much, and I – afraid to say it's going to be just like chalk on both sides. So I'm trying to find a way to make the 49ers lose. And plus, I don't like them, so it's fun.
So it's a win-win then for you. See, I love the 49ers, and I don't think the Packers stand a chance to win this game, potentially cover. I'm going to take a Niners team total over instead of anything on the side in that game. But you're right. Like, do I want to just go ahead and say it's going to be Niners Ravens? Like, no, that's super boring. Is there any way CJ Stroud can beat the Ravens this week? I think they cover. I don't think he wins outright. I think that's a really tall task. I mean, and how crazy would it be if we had a Packers Lions NFC championship, like a divisional matchup in the NFC championship? That would be crazy too. So I don't know who I see in the Super Bowl. I mean, my head would say Niners Ravens, but that's super boring and I don't really want to go there.
Do you think the Chiefs can really get back? Because it's not the same Chiefs team and it's hard going back to back. Like, it's not
very hard.
I struggle with that because I like them against Buffalo. Like, if you know, Buffalo is another team I'm way, you know, below market on.
I am too. You know.
Yeah, so I think they win that game, but
I think they win that game but lose to the Ravens, right?
Yeah, I see it the same way. Yeah,
which is what makes me nervous because I feel like everyone, a lot of people that I've talked to or in my betting circle, see it the same way, and that's only recipe for disaster when everyone is on the same side. Like, something weird's gonna happen.
I think we'll see Kansas City take money in that matchup. Like, I don't know where they'll open it up, but just when you look at it on the surface, like Patrick Mahomes, and I think there's still a large contingent of the public that does not buy into Lamar Jackson. Like, they want to see him win the big, big game before they put their money there. And if he's facing the Chiefs in the championship, you know, a team that's been there 1,000 times and, you know, has a ton of playoff success. You know, I think they'll take money. So I think that could get dicey there. And I'll tell you, if Lamar wants to cement his legacy, no better way to do it than beating Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl.
That would be the way to do it. Yeah, so then go on and win the Super Bowl. And he's probably most likely already locked up MVP for the season. So you had a Lamar ticket, right?
Yeah, 6-1 I got it. It was in December, so it wasn't – you know, it wasn't the early season stuff, but it's still good enough. I'll take
6-1 is better than the 0 ticket that I have on Lamar Jackson. So you're up on me, Mark. That is much better.
Absolutely.
All right. So that is going to do it for us this week. Thank you for listening to the show. Thanks to our guest, Sean Green. We're going to continue to try and get more guests on as we move through the NBA season to talk about those awards, college basketball, NHL. We'll get some of those guests on as well that are experts in those areas. You can find Mark on Twitter at @X_Drumheller. I'm @Kate Constable. Check us out on the Believe Network or wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you next week.